All prophets say, are those who know equal to those who do not know?
The Immortals, a link to the life and works of Persian and Muslim dignitaries.
Fortunate is he who remembers Allah abundantly. Worldly distractions cannot mildly sway his thoughts of Allah and Judgment Day.
In his name, we start another edition of the program The Immortals, coming to you from the Caliph Zone radio station, Holy City of Qom, Islamic Republic of Iran. As you know, in this series of the programs, with the presence of Dr. Fakh Rouhani, who is currently a faculty member of the University of Qom, we are mainly concerned with the lives and works, and mainly the biographies of the Iranian Shiite scholars in different fields of studies. Dr. Fakh Rouhani, thank you very much for accepting the invitation to the studio of the Caliph Zone radio again.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Dr. Fakh Rouhani, this session we want to talk about another great scholar in the Shiite world who is also Iranian, and that is Sheikh Tusi. You know, just to give a brief birth and family background, I would like to say that Abu Ja'far Muhammad ibn Hassan Tusi, known as Sheikh Al-Tayefa or Sheikh Tusi, was born in the year 385 AH. He was one of the very bright luminaries of the Islamic world, and he has written many books on the various subjects of fiqh, or Islamic jurisprudence, usul, or fundamental principles of fiqh, hadith, sayings of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, and his infallibles, or tafsir, and also we can say kalam, which is theology, and rijal, which is genealogies of narrators of hadith. Again, like find the other scholars, Sheikh Tusi belonged to a family that produced generations of Islamic scholars and jurisprudence, and his son also, Sheikh Abu Ali, was outstanding jurisprudence as well. Sheikh Abu Ali had a book entitled Amali. He also contributed an explanatory work on Al-Nahaya, a book authored by his father. Okay. This is Sheikh Tusi, and we would like to hear, in fact, Dr. Fakh Rouhani's speech and Dr. Fakh Rouhani's elaboration on his life. Who was he, and who was this scholar exactly, Dr. Fakh Rouhani?
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Actually, it has been the greatest honor of the Shiite denomination to have such a great figure like Sheikh Al-Tayefa Tusi.
That's right.
Actually, the title Sheikh Al-Tayef means the greatest scholar of the denomination.
That's right.
And please note that, other than the infallible imams, none of the scholars throughout history in the Shiite denomination has attained the title of Sheikh Al-Tayef, except the late Sheikh Tusi.
That's right.
Okay? And please note carefully that, in the Shiite denomination, there are four seminal books. Two of these seminal books were authored by Sheikh Tusi.
Which are?
Tahzib and Istibsar.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
Now, I should like to mention that the late Sheikh Tusi, after receiving some elementary instructions and education in Tus, in Khorasan, he left Khorasan for Baghdad. Why? Because Baghdad, as the capital of the Islamic empire of the day, was the seat of learning and knowledge.
That's right.
He went to Baghdad, and he studied under one of the most important and renowned Shiite scholars of the history of Shiite religious and historical studies. That is Muhammad ibn Nu'man al-Baghdadi.
Right.
Who is known as Sheikh al-Mufid.
Right.
Please note carefully that Sheikh al-Mufid was very, very important in Shiite theological development, to the extent that when the late Sheikh al-Mufid passed away, Imam al-Mahdi, Ajalla Ta'ala Farajahu al-Sharif, composed an elegy for him. And this is one of the greatest honors a person may attain in his lifetime and afterwards.
Right.
Okay, the later Sheikh Tusi lived in Baghdad for several years.
At the age of, in fact, exactly, Dr. Fakh Rouhani, at the age of 23.
Yes.
He immigrated, in fact, at the age of 23 in the year 408.
Yes.
AH, he, in fact, immigrated to Baghdad and remained in Iraq to his demise.
And perhaps at the end of, somewhere at the end of his stay in Baghdad, Baghdad was captured by the Mongols. I mean, the Mongol forces captured Baghdad. So Sheikh Tusi had to find a secure place. He migrated to Najaf.
Okay.
And I should like to say that he established the Najaf School of Shiite Jurisprudence and Shiite Scholarship by the illuminating sanctuary of Imam Ali.
That's right.
And as you know, the Najaf School of Religious Scholarship has produced so many different scholars. And it's an honor for a scholar to establish such a, not university, but such a great academy in the whole Shiite world, okay? As you know, all other schools of, I mean, religious scholarship can be regarded in the Shiite world, can be regarded as offshoots of Najaf throughout history.
You know, Dr. Fakhrani, after, you know, Sheikh Tusi immigrated to Baghdad and remained in Iraq, after the demise of his mentor, his important and the main mentor, which was Sayyid Murtaza Alam al-Huda,
yes.
In fact, he somehow became the chairman of the theological center, as well as the, we can say, Shiite authority competent to issue religious decrees or fatwas. Also, he was, according to the documents, he was a student of Sheikh Mufid for about 5 years.
Yes.
You know, and these were happening also before immigrating to Najaf,
yes,
and establishing,
yes,
we can say, the Najaf Hauze or Theological
Center. The Najaf
Center.
Academy. Yes,
Academy,
the Najaf
or,
Religious
right,
Academy.
Theological Center, that's right. Okay.
Yes. And I should like to say that, personally, I mean, this is my personal opinion, I think besides receiving the divine inspiration and the divine grace, mm-hmm, such scholars like Sheikh Tusi,
yeah,
should have been very intelligent people. I mean, they must be prodigies of the day.
That's right.
Because, I mean, without having such high intelligence, okay, a person can't achieve so many academic, so many outstanding academic achievements. Okay.
And in the multiplicity of the materials,
yes,
over there and the sources, you know, this is really,
yes,
difficult. That's right.
And at the same time, let me tell you that one of the books produced by the late Sheikh Tusi is An-Nihaya fi Mujarrad al-Fiqh wal-Fatawa. Yes.
Mainly known as An-Nihaya.
An-Nihaya.
That's right.
And at the moment, I have an English translation of An-Nihaya at hand here.
Very,
I mean,
good.
This book has appeared in English translation in the year 2008 in London and translated by Dr. Abul Fazl Izzati, who is a well-known Iranian university professor now residing in the UK. According to the, I mean, according to authoritative documents about the life of Sheikh Tusi, I should like to say that the late Sheikh Tusi produced the book An-Nihaya fi Mujarrad al-Fiqh wal-Fatawa. This is a short encyclopedia or compendium of Shiite rules of religious duties and rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Okay.
An-Nihaya is a one-volume book, both in Arabic and in English editions. Okay? At the same time, this is very important. This is very important that the later Sheikh Tusi produced other books. For example, in Quran exegesis, he has Tafsir al-Tibyan.
That's right.
Tafsir al-Tibyan was written by Sheikh Tusi. He has another book, which is an encyclopedia, a larger encyclopedia of Islamic fiqh, which is called Al-Mabsut.
That book is great because I can say it brought the Islamic fiqh to a new stage.
Yes. Yes,
that's right.
And next to Al-Mabsut, he has another book, Al-Khilaf.
Very good.
Al-Khilaf is a book in which both Sunnis and the Shiites refer to. And please note carefully that when the late Sheikh Tusi was writing the book Al-Khilaf, he referred to the verdicts and fatwas of major Sunni, denominations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, according to the seminal works, to the extent that even for at least 200 years after, even for 200 years after the life of Sheikh Tusi, in Sunni circles in the world, okay, they referred to this work of Sheikh Tusi in order to gain the purest Sunni verdicts on religious issues. Oh. I mean, it made an encyclopedia and a first-hand reference, not only for Shiites, but also for Sunnis.
That's right.
And even in those days, Sheikh Tusi anticipated such issues like organ transplantation, which we have achieved in the 21st century in the world. Sheikh Tusi anticipated these issues and mentioned all of them in his book. He was a genius. He could think much, much ahead of his time. Okay? And let me tell you something else. What's very important, I mean, to me, it's very important that at least in one case, Sheikh Tusi refers to some rituals as equivalent to the whole religious act. Mm-hmm. For example, regarding Hajj, he says that being awake at Al-Muzdalifa or Al-Mash'ar in Hajj is equivalent to doing one's Hajj entirely. This is very important. It means that in Hajj, at very important minutes and time, you shouldn't fall asleep. You have to be awake. And this is a very good instruction, and it has a good psychological effect on Shiites, okay? Mm-hmm. Not to pass any moment unknowingly.
Right.
You have to be alert.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani. Let's go up to here, taking a break, and after that we'll continue our discussion on the life of Sheikh Tusi.
You are very special. There's no one just like you, created by the Master. Allah created you. You are very special, exclusively designed. You are very special, and I'm so glad you're mine. You are very special, there's only one of you. You are very special, and remember I love you. You were made by Allah, unique in all your ways. You were made by Allah to praise Him all your days.
Welcome back, dear Muslims from around the world. The rest of the program, The Immortals, coming to you from the Kalabazan radio station. This session, the life and the works of Sheikh Tusi. Okay, Dr. Fakhrani, you know, beside the impact, all his works and all the efforts of Sheikh Tusi, you explained very nice two of his most important books, which is considered in the four important Shiite world books. Would you elaborate on these two books for us?
Yes. Actually, Tahzib and Istibsar,
that's right,
both of them are recorded as seminal books in Shiite theology and Shiite doctrinal issues. Why? Because in Islam, and particularly in Shiite Islam, okay, nobody can imitate, can follow another person, another predecessor, or even an infallible imam, or higher, even the prophet, regarding articles of faith. Articles of faith, everybody must have his or her own argumentation in favor of them. What's important in this regard is that the late Sheikh Tusi devoted his attention not on practical issues in the world of Islam, rather on theological foundations of Islam, on doctrinal aspects of the foundations of Islam. Okay, when we look at his books, we find that even in his books, even in his books, for example, like An-Nihaya fi Mujarrad al-Fiqh wal-Fatawa, okay, which is a practical book. I mean, An-Nihaya isn't supposed to be a theoretical book. I mean, this is a practical, this is just a handbook, I mean, for religious duties. Even in this book, you find that, okay, besides any practice, he mentions a rationale for doing that. It means that this is an instruction for us. This is a lesson for us. In that, okay, behind doing or accomplishing, I mean, the rituals, we have to be fully cognizant of the philosophy back behind those religious, I mean, rites and rituals.
Yeah.
And in this way, let me tell you that, okay, you can seldom find this policy in other religions of the world. Okay, for example, in Buddhism, in some offshoots of Hinduism, if you go to the temples, you find that people repeat something, people say something or do some acts, okay, but back behind it, they can hardly come up with any philosophy. And at the moment, the late Sheikh Atusi, in his book, An-Nihaya, he showed that he had a very analytical mind, in the sense that he could differentiate between theoretical aspects of religion on the one hand and practical issues on the other hand.
That's right, Dr. Farhani. This is maybe somehow shown in another of his books, that is Al-Fihrist, okay?
Yes.
You know, I think most of the time when we want to refer to the authenticity of a book, at the end of the book, in the Western research method and methodology, the bibliography is very important. How is it possible that, for example, Sheikh Atusi at that time, in his Fihrist or Al-Fihrist, in fact gives a list, or somehow in a bibliographical form, of his own works? You know, would you elaborate on his book Al-Fihrist?
Actually, the book Al-Fihrist, okay, shows that in the Islamic world, okay, research has got high priority.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, when a book is mentioned in Al-Fihrist by Sheikh Atusi, in this way, the late Sheikh Atusi gave credit, I mean, high academic credit and standard.
Yeah.
I mean, he accorded high credit and academic standard to the work he mentioned in Al-Fihrist. Al-Fihrist can be regarded as a comprehensive bibliography of major and seminal Shiite works up to the time of, I mean, Sheikh Atusi. Okay? Al-Fihrist, I mean, Fihrist in Arabic means a bibliography, just a list. Okay? It wasn't the practice of Sheikh Atusi to mention just the names of the titles of some books. No. Besides mentioning some titles, okay, he added something quite like annotated bibliography. I mean, he made some annotations.
Which were mainly concerned with the, for example, as I have it over here, the topics were the exegesis, the law,
yes,
the foundations of the law, hadith, rijal, theology, and in fact, heresiography, prayers and imamate or imami piety, historiography and replies to the questions.
Yes.
This is very important. You know, some replies to the questions. Questions for. Okay. What about the other book? You said, Istibsar was one of them, yes?
Yes.
And the other important book was?
Tahsib, Istibsar, Al-Khilaf.
Al-Khilaf
is very important in the sense of that it's the largest encyclopedia of comparative fiqh. I mean, the Shiite fiqh, the Shiite religious law, is compared with the religious law of other denominations of the world of Islam. And the late Sheikh Atusi was very keen, okay, in that he never falsified anything, he never changed anything. Rather, he quoted from the most authoritative books of other denominations of the world of Islam, to the extent that, according to a report, until 200 years after the demise of the late Sheikh Atusi, the our Sunni brethren, when they wanted to argue on a point from their own standpoint, they could safely refer to Sheikh Atusi's book Al-Khilaf, because they believed that Sheikh Atusi never changed even a word. I mean, he quoted everything quite exactly.
The title Al-Khilaf means what? The difference. I know. The difference between what? Between the Shiites and the Sunnis?
Between Islamic denominations and the schools of thought. And Al-Mabsut and Al-Mabsut can be regarded as the extended version of An-Nihaya fi Mujarrad al-Fiqh wal-Fatawa. As I told you, I mean, earlier, An-Nihaya is a one-volume book. But Al-Mabsut is quite voluminous.
That's right.
I mean, quite comparable to the largest, encyclopedias and, references of the day. And what's very important is that, not in the age of computer and softwares and, internet, but in old days, the later Sheikh At-Tusi quite single-handedly and in that turbulent and harsh political times of Baghdad could achieve all these high academic achievements. This is really great.
That's right. You know, then we can say of the four authoritative resources of the Shiites, two were in fact belonging to the Sheikh At-Tusi, and this is, you know, really great. Okay, and at the end of this program, I would like to say that at the same time, Tusi has constant recourse to reasoned argumentation based on ijtihad, and he begins to sketch the notion of the general representation of the hidden imam entrusted to juris theologians who may, if the need desires, exercise the prerogatives traditionally reserved for the historical imams. I would like also to say that Dr. Fakhr, in completing and modifying the work of Al-Mufid and of Al-Murtadha, Tusi succeeded in endowing Imam-i-Law or Imamat-Law with a structure and a scope of activity practically independent of the figure of the Imam. Thus, his work was to provide, rationalist Imamzam, known from the following century onward as Al-Usuliyya, or Usuliyya, with solid intellectual basis, enabling it to experience a lengthy evolution which would lead ultimately to an ever-increasing assumption of power by imami mujtahids in the economic, social and political fields. This immense and lasting influence of the work of Tusi earned him the honorific nickname of Sheikh Al-Taifa or Imamia, or simply Al-Sheikh. Okay, this was also, somehow the final introduction to the lives of Sheikh At-Tusi. I would like also to say that Sheikh At-Tusi's reputation in the realm of Islamic knowledge and learning, as well as his personal fame as a man of piety and devoutness, soon circulated around the world of that time of Islam, and even penetrated the palace of Al-Ghaim Billah, the Abbasid Caliph. The Caliph was so impressed by Sheikh At-Tusi's fame as a learned man that he, with the concurrence of the Buyid's dynasty, appointed the Sheikh to the court chair of teaching Kalam or theology in Baghdad. Those days, the chair carried immense prestige, since only the most distinguished ulama were appointed to it. This higher appointment showed that Sheikh At-Tusi was recognized as the most qualified savants of Baghdad for the, in fact, teaching post. And now, when we get to his death and demise, I would like to say that Sheikh At-Tusi, in fact, when seeing the danger of remaining in Baghdad of that time, left and went to Al-Najaf, because Al-Najaf was the city where Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was buried, and was already a very important city in the hearts of the Shia Muslims. However, it was Sheikh At-Tusi's arrival which was to give the city the impetus to become the leading center of the Shiite, we can say, a scholarship. And this is the role which has maintained down to the present day.
Yes.
That's right. And Sheikh At-Tusi give it a highlighted role. And that is why we find it somehow as a center of Shiites up to nowadays. However, Sheikh At-Tusi passed away in Najaf on the 22nd of Muharram in the year 460 AH, or 2nd December 1067. And his body was buried in the house there, which was made into a mosque, as he had joined in his will. Because yes, he said in his will, bury me over there, and after that it was changed to, in fact, to his mosque. And, Tusi was succeeded by his son Al-Hasan, who was known as Al-Mufid Al-Thani,
yes,
or Mufid the Second, okay? And was himself considered an outstanding scholar. Thank you very much, Dr. Fakhrani, for a nice discussion on the life and works of Sheikh At-Tusi, one of great Iranian Shiite scholar.
Welcome.
Dear Muslims from around the world, all the staff of the program The Immortals wish you enjoyed it. You know, in the program The Immortals, we are mainly concerned with the biographies of the Iranian Shiite dignitaries in different fields of studies. Thank you very much for listening to this program. You can also refer to our website at www.coiradio.com. We'll be happy with your votes and comments at coi@sinarabi.ir under the title The Immortals. Thank you very much again. Have a nice time and goodbye.
Rescue us to the shore.